Hey, check this out. Today's episode is a listener request. My buddy Jim was listening to a past episode, and I think it might have been Van Halen. And, he said something like, I don't really like Van Halen, but I like listening to you make podcasts and talk about the music, so I'm going to check it out just this once. And so I said to him, you know what? That's awesome, man. How about this? How about you make a request for the next band that we do? And I think he said Burton Cummings. It's like, yeah, all right, how about we do the Guess Who for the main feature episode, and then for the jam session, we do a follow-up, focus in on Burton Cummings. He thought that was pretty cool, so here we are. Today's episode is the feature episode on the Guess Who. Now, I also happen to be friends with a guy named Howard Manshine. Howard Manshine, if you're not familiar with him, is a legend in the Canadian rock radio world, and he just happens to be from Winnipeg, the same hometown as the Guess Who, Randy Bachman and Burton Cummings. So I reached out to Howard, and I was just like, hey, Howard, you got anything, any old clips or interviews that you could use with Burton Cummings or any of the Guess Who? He got back to me right away and just started inundating me with all these clips and interviews and in-depth stuff. It was amazing. Howard is an awesome guy and obviously, for the sake of this podcast and show, a really great resource. So you're going to hear some clips within this episode from Randy Bachman and Burton Cummings, and those all come from Howard Manshine. So a huge thanks to him. In the follow-up to this, in 2 weeks' time, we're going to put out the jam session, and there's a full-length interview between Howard and Burton Cummings. I'm really excited to share it with you. So, without further ado, here's the Guess Who episode.
It all starts with a root.
Oh, can you go?
An organism.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog.
A living, breathing feeling.
Bring on to the other side.
A being that comes to life.
Right, sugar.
This living, breathing being is rock and roll. This is Roots of Rock, podcast edition. Here's your host, Sean Tompkins.
Let's go back to the year 1965. A song called Roses Are Red, My Love went to number 43 on the Billboard charts. To be honest, it wasn't really anything special as far as songs from the 60s go, at least. But it did make it onto the charts and made a bit of a splash. Check it out. Here's a small sample of the song.
Roses are red, my love. Every violet's a blue. Sugar is sweet, love. Yeah, baby, just like you. Oh, yeah, 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 baby, just like you. Oh, yeah, 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 baby, just like you.
After it did what it did on the charts, it kind of faded away into the history books. And the band that wrote the song, they've faded away too. As with all things in Roots of Rock, there's a cool backstory here. You see, the band was called the You Know Who Group. The band was mysterious. Nobody actually did know who they were. They were an enigma. They wore red masks and capes on their album. They all kind of looked like the Lone Ranger.
The Lone Rangers? That's original. How can you pluralize the Lone Ranger?
What's wrong with that?
Well, there's three of you. You're not exactly lone. Shouldn't you be the Three Rangers?
No idea what you're saying right now.
The lead singer of the You Know Who group sang in a thick British accent. And it was happening during the beginnings of the British invasion. Rumors began to swirl that it was the Dave Clark Five, or the Stones, or maybe even the Beatles themselves. The truth was, it was an orchestrated promotional stunt to try to get some recognition for the song that they'd written. Four Italian guys who were musicians in New York walked into a studio looking to make a record. The producer drummed up this plan for a gimmick to get them to act British so that they could take advantage of the sensation of the British invasion happening all around them. They quickly adopted a quote-unquote British sound, even faking a British accent. And now that you know that, now that you know that the singer is faking it, listen again to that same clip, but focus in on his accent. And really, you can tell how over the top it is.
Roses are red, my love. Every violet's a blue. Sugar is sweet, love. Yeah, baby, just like you. Oh, yeah, 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 baby,
Around the same time as the whole You Know Who group was making some traction on the Billboard charts, a band in Canada that went by the name of Chad Allen and the Expressions was starting to gain a bit of steam themselves. They released a cover of the song Shaken All Over by Johnny and the Pirates, and their American record label Quality Records thought that they'd capitalize on the promotional stunt pulled by the You Know Who group. It got them some success after all. So when Quality Records released the Chad Allen single in the States, they just put Guess Who in the artist label field when they sent the record out, thinking it would generate some buzz. And guess what? It did. Trouble was, disc jockeys started calling the band the Guess Who, and they kept on calling them that, even after Quality Records revealed who the artists behind Shaken All Over were. Eventually, the band relented and just started to go with the flow and use the name the Guess Who.
Shaken all over.
That song went to number 1 in Canada and number 22 in the States. Now, the Guess Who, you could say, started as a band called the Silvertones in 1958. They sort of morphed into the Guess Who by 1965 through various iterations of the band. And the band is still going strong today with only one remaining founding member from the original 1965 band, bassist Jerry Peterson. By my count, over the years, the band has had an astounding 39 different members. Shortly after the success of Shaken All Over, Burton Cummings joined the band and Chad Allen left. The band gradually started to have some bigger success with their music, scoring a few small-time hits here and there. The Guess Who had one of those hits in the UK and decided to go on tour to promote their song there. Trouble was, the single dropped off the charts as soon as they arrived in England, and then they found that they couldn't book any gigs because they hadn't done their due diligence with their work visas. They had to head back home to Canada in debt as a band. As luck would have it, though, they were hired as the house band for a show geared towards teenagers on CBC called Let's Go.
Let's go with Canada's number one hitmakers, the Guess Who. And now, let's go with your Let's Go host, Chad Allen.
Recognize the host's name there? Chad Allen of Chad Allen and the Expressions, former lead singer of The Guess Who. Yeah, he'd left The Guess Who and then became the host of the CBC show where The Guess Who became the host band. Now, The Guess Who were hired to perform the chart hits of the day as covers, but they also started to perform some of their own hits as well. And during their time on the show, they were discovered by a sales executive by the name of Jack Richardson. Jack Richardson eventually mortgaged his house to finance the band's album. That's how much he believed in them. That album would eventually be called Wheatfield Soul. Check it out. Here's Burton Cummings talking about a song off that album.
I think Randy and I kind of, without knowing it, we wrote what they would call a modern standard, you know, and it has been covered by other people. Junior Walker had a big hit with it on Motown way back the same year ours did. It has been covered by South American artists instrumentally. I still feel that someone else is going to re-record it and it'll surface one more time as a hit record because it seems to have stood up pretty well.
These eyes are crying. These eyes have seen a lot of love, but they're never going to see another one.
After Wheatfield Soul came Canned Wheat in 1969. Then came the band's big international success. In 1970, they released the American Woman album. It was their only album to go to number one on the U.S. charts. That album had songs like No Time, No Sugar Tonight, and American Woman. Check it out. Here's Burton Cummings again talking about the backstory behind American Woman.
It was jammed on stage, and no one would ever have heard it, except there was a kid bootlegging the show that night. And I didn't realize until we were about halfway through. The guy started playing the riff, and I just started singing whatever came out of my head. There was a kid bootlegging the show, and I saw the microphone, and I motioned to the road manager, get that tape, we can't have this bootleg going on. So we got the tape off the kid, and we listened to it later, and here was this great thing. American woman, stay away from me, I don't need your war machines, I don't need your ghetto scenes. All that was not crafted lyric, that was right on the spot.
That album was released in 1970, but it featured a song that was a re-release from the Canned Weed album called No Time. And the version that most of us know, and one that was another hit for the band, was the version from 1970. The Guess Who reached legendary status in Canadian rock and roll history. They are one of the original rock and roll hit machines based in Canada, in Winnipeg in particular. On today's show, we're tracing the history and influences of The Guess Who. This is Roots of Rock, and I'm your host, Sean Tompkins. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to find out who it was that inspired The Guess Who to make the music that would cement them as legends in the arena of Canadian rock and roll.
You're listening to Roots of Rock, podcast edition.
Hey, I'm Sean Tompkins, and you're listening to Roots of Rock, where we trace the history and influences of the greatest music ever made, rock and roll. Back to the Guess Who, though. As the band continued throughout the years, the personnel changed on and off as various members split off and made solo records and came back to the band, and most notably, Randy Bachman and Burton Cummings. But for the purpose of this show, we will continue to focus just on the Guess Who as a band. And, as we always do, now is the second segment of the show, and that's the part where we delve into the music and the bands that influenced the Guess Who. The Guess Who were undeniably influenced by the British Invasion. The biggest band of the British Invasion is obviously the Beatles, and the influences of the Beatles on the Guess Who is also undeniable. But the Beatles are so influential on so many bands that if I'm not careful in this show, I could end every show at the Beatles. So with that in mind, we are going to acknowledge the Beatles' influence on the Guess Who, and now we are going to promptly move from that thread. Just didn't want you to think that I'd missed the influence of the Beatles or something ridiculous like that. One thread that I do want to pull on, though, is the cover thread. In other words, I always say that you know a band has been influenced by another band if that said band does a cover of another band song, and the Guess Who had their first hit with a cover of a Johnny Kidd and the Pirates song, Shaken All Over. We've already heard that song, though. So let's do another one of Johnny Kidd and the Pirates songs. How about Dr. Feelgood?
Hey, all you women, why don't you come around? Unless you weigh around 400 pounds. Well, if you don't weigh, what on, baby? Don't come around at all.
Dr. Feelgood by Johnny Kidd, not Motley Crue, although I'd venture a guess that that band and that song had an influence on Motley Crue. I mean, they did release a whole album called Dr. Feelgood. There's a British pub rock band called Dr. Feelgood, so it's pretty safe to say that Johnny Kidd was a pretty influential band in the early days. By the way, Dr. Feelgood? Street slang for heroin. in case you were wondering. So's Mr. Brownstone, as in the Guns N' Roses song. See? The things you wouldn't have learned if you hadn't listened to this show. I know. You're welcome. Let's get back to the early history of the Guess Who now. Remember the story I told at the start about how they got their name? Well, the name of the band right before they became the Guess Who was Chad Allen and the Reflections. Now, the Reflections part of that name was a tribute to a band called The Shadows. Reflections, Shadows, get it? And The Shadows were a British instrumental band that became the backing band for a guy called Cliff Richard. They became known as Cliff Richard and The Shadows. Sort of has a similar ring to Chad Allen and The Reflections, right?
Say he's gonna die, but honey, be less for yourself. Well, he just don't know what's going to replace it. Yeah, that is Calypso's. I've got nothing on real country music that just drives along.
Released in 1958, the song was called Move It, and the band was Cliff Richards and the Drifters. I know, I said it was Cliff Richard and the Shadows, and they pretty much were. It's kind of hard to keep up with how many times these bands changed their names and personnel, but Cliff Richards and the Drifters changed their name to the Shadows shortly after the release of that song, and that's where Chad Allen and the Reflections picked up on the idea for their name. So, for the purpose of our story today, we're just going to say it was Cliff Richards and the Shadows. And that song was really significant in the history of rock and roll because it was considered one of the first rock and roll songs recorded outside of the United States. And that's a big deal because rock and roll is, especially in the early days, was considered a purely American art form. That song was actually written by guitarist Ian Samwell. He wrote it on the top of a double-decker bus while on his way to band rehearsal. He didn't actually have time to finish the second verse, so you'll notice that Cliff Richard sings the first verse twice in that version. Well, Ian Samwell wrote the second verse for the song 37 years later and sent it to Hank Marvin, the other guitarist for The Shadows, who re-recorded the song. And Hank Marvin, unless you're really into the history of rock and roll, you probably don't know who he is, but you have definitely heard of the people who list him as an influence. Guys like Syd Barrett and David Gilmour of Pink Floyd, George Harrison, Eric Clapton, Brian May of Queen, Mark Knopfler of Dire Straits, Peter Frampton, Tony Iommi, Ritchie Blackmore, Jeff Beck, they all list Hank Marvin as an influence. He's one of the originals. How incredible is that? Here in Canada, Cliff Richard and the Shadows had a slew of top 10 hits in the early and mid-60s. And you know the song From Hank to Hendrix on Neil Young's Harvest Moon album? Personally, I always thought he was talking about Hank Williams. Shows my ignorance. But because he was actually talking about Hank Marvin. Randy Bachman also happens to cite Hank Marvin as a huge influence as well. Earlier in the first segment, we heard the song No Time by the Guess Who, and the guitar riff in that song came from a very specific influence on Randy Bachman, a different influence. But here he is talking about how he came up with that guitar riff and the influence that shaped it.
This is kind of our Buffalo Springfield, I don't know, tribute to Neil Young doing this song, which is a classic, almost a Stephen Stills guitar line that I took from a song called Hung Upside Down and kind of inverted the lick and played it my own way, and it was the signature that I played between all the verses on No Time.
And I'm hung upside down, and I'm hung upside down.
Again, into the early history of the Guess Who, back to when they were called Chad Allen and the Reflections. Their first single, before they sort of blew up, was called A Tribute to Buddy Holly. Buddy Holly was one of those first rock and rollers, one of the really early on guys, and a lot of later musicians, some of the guys who really blew up, they were either influenced by Chuck Berry or Elvis or Buddy Holly, and some of them by all of the above. But certain veins of rock and roll were really branches that really picked up where either Chuck Berry or Elvis Presley or Buddy Holly left off. And the British Invasion and the Guess Who by extension were really in that Buddy Holly branch.
Put your arms around me now and try your best to squeeze me. Love me, baby, you know how. Yes, I rock me, my baby. Well, rock a lock a hickory dickory dock. Rock a bomb, my baby. Up and down, around the clock. Well, rock me, my baby.
Buddy Holly was born Charles Hardin Holly in Lubbock, Texas in 1935. He learned to play fiddle, guitar, and piano from a really early age, and he started winning singing contests and formed a band in high school with a bunch of buddies. They were primarily a country band until the day they played with Elvis Presley. And when that happened, they made the move to rock and roll that day. But because they still had some of their country roots and their country sensibilities, their music became rockabilly. And Buddy Holly actually became way more popular in the UK than he was at home, which explains why they were so influential on the British bands that would form the British Invasion. Now, Buddy Holly died in the infamous plane crash with the Big Bopper and Ritchie Valens. But his influence on rock and roll and the world as we know it is almost immeasurable. But who did he model himself after? What drove him to make the music that he made? We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to find out.
Roots of Rock with Sean Tompkins. Podcast edition.
Hey, welcome back to Roots of Rock. On this episode, we've been tracing the history and influences of Canadian rock and roll legends, the Guess Who. We wound our way back from them through to the British Invasion bands like Johnny Kidd and the Pirates, and then into Cliff Richards and the Shadows. Then we crossed back across the Atlantic to Lubbock, Texas, into the music of Buddy Holly and the Crickets. But who influenced Buddy Holly? What was the music that drove on one of the first rock and rollers to make the music that he made? Well, in 1990, a guy by the name of Henry Ballard was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He was an early rhythm and blues singer that headed up a band called the Midnighters. And in 1954, they had a hit called Work With Me, Annie.
Work with me, Annie. Work with me, Annie. Ooh-wee. Work with me, Annie. Work with me, Annie. Work with me, Annie. Let's get it while the getting is good.
That song was cited by Buddy Holly as a massive influence on him. And you can really hear the influence in his music, can't you? Henry Ballard was an innovator and an influencer and had a hand in shaping the very early days of rock and roll. In fact, he was the one that wrote the Chubby Checker hit, The Twist. And what's really cool is that the further you read up on Henry Ballard, you find out that he was influenced by Gene Autry, a massive country singer. So it just goes to show you that the roots of rock and roll come from all different genres, blues, rhythm and blues, country, and a guy like Henry Ballard, he was super important to those early sounds, especially to someone like Buddy Holly. I'm Sean Tompkins, and this is Roots of Rock, a monthly show where we trace the history and influences of the greatest music ever made, rock and roll. On today's show, we started with a band called Chad Allen and the Reflections, who quickly became the Guess Who. Then we wound our way through the British Invasion and into the music of Buddy Holly and the Crickets, dug a little bit further and got right down to the point where the rhythm and blues became rock and roll. the transition point that was noticeable in the music of a band like the Midnighters. Thanks for joining me today. Let's do it again. Rock and roll! Hey, you've obviously been listening to the podcast edition of Roots of Rock. Glad you found us. Now, don't forget to hit up the subscribe button on whatever podcast platform you found us on to begin with. And if you're listening to us straight off of one of the Rogers Rock websites, again, thanks for listening. But if you like what you hear, head over to the Apple Podcast Player on your iPhone or Google Music or Samsung or whatever your favorite podcast app is on whatever phone you're on and hit the subscribe button so that you can catch all the cool bonus content that we have planned for the podcast. Another thing you can do right now is to head over to Spotify and search out Roots of Rock. We create a playlist of all the music that we reference and play clips of on the podcast. So now that you've heard the inside scoop behind the stories and the sounds of the music that you love, head over and experience the music on a whole new level. It's pretty cool, so I highly recommend you check it out. One more thing, please, if you like what you hear, do not forget to leave us a rating and review if you want to help us spread the word. Tell your friends, tell your family, your local grocery store clerk, your dog, your cat, your budgie, tell them all! Rock and roll!